You're listening to another week of Countdown to Kickoff on WKCS 91.1 FM. We're going to send it to the studio with Jackson Powell, your host of Countdown to Kickoff. I'm in the air. I'm in the air. Like a
falcon. Six-time state champs. Yeah, we bowed it. Just kidding, Corbin. It is Tommy Sweat here in the studio, not Jackson Powell. However, we do have Jackson on the other side of the table here. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Tommy. This is your first whole Countdown to Kickoff that you're going to lead.
I know,
here.
I'm a little nervous. I can feel my palms starting to sweat a little bit, but hopefully those will be controllable throughout the segment, and we'll get into it today. So we're going to start off by mentioning that, as you know, fall break is this week. Fulton High School and Knox County schools around Knox County are out of school. So Jackson and I, we are recording this a week in advance. And so we're going to talk about Fulton's matchup against Maryville. And I think we'll start out with some keys to the game. Jackson, what are your keys to the game that Fulton will have to execute in order to beat a very talented Maryville team?
Well, Tommy, we see how Fulton played against Carnes. You know, they really didn't show up till about the second half.
Yes.
So I think if we are going to even, you know, stand a chance against the Rebels, I say we have to play fourth quarter football the entire game.
Yes.
You know, we really have to. You know, the stamina we got. Cramps are killing us too, in my opinion. Cramps are killing us.
Oh yeah, we've been hit pretty hard by the injury bug, and I mean cramps specifically. You know, I agree with you on that one. Some of the keys that we've been talking about at practice throughout the season, really, and especially coming into the Maryville Prep Week, is they're a very deep team. They're a 6A school, and they're not going to play a soul. They're going to have an offensive group, they're going to have a defensive group, and they're going to have a special teams group. And when you look at Fulton, we've got guys that play well over 100 snaps a game. You know, offense, defense, special teams included. So we've got to be in shape, like you said.
Right.
I understand that if you want to play fourth quarter football the entire game, I mean, that's a great strategy. But also, to play fourth quarter football, you have to be in tip-top shape. And Maryville is in tip-top shape. And also, they have guys that are able to rest. They have depth, which we have touched on the entire season, that Fulton does not have a lot of depth this year. So I think the key is going to be not a heavy rotation, but if somebody's getting tired, if there is a player that is not performing at his best ability because he's tired, maybe get him a break for maybe a series or two, but maybe not the whole series, because Maryville, they're not going to make a whole lot of mistakes. And so that'll segue into my next key to the game, is the Falcons can't shoot themselves in the foot.
Right.
When you think about it, and watching Maryville on film, they don't make a lot of mistakes. They fumbled two or three times from what I've seen in, what, five, six games. So they're not going to make any mistakes. They're sharp. They know what they're doing. They're crisp. They're big. They're fast. Maryville is all of these things, but if Fulton's going to have a chance, they're going to have to limit their penalties. They're going to have to hold on to the football. They're going to have to not throw interceptions. That's going to be a key, is to chew the clock, control the clock, but also score the football, which is what you want to do. Jackson, what's another key to the game?
Well, you know, like you said, Maryville is a very, like, a crisp team. They're slick. They're strong. They're big. They're a very skilled team. So
yes,
we're going to have to, you know, watch it on the rookie mistakes a little bit. And I really think that we like you said, we can't kick ourselves in the foot. We can't shoot our, you know, we can't. Because we do realize that Maryville is one of the biggest teams in the state.
They are.
And they're a great team. And you know, just because we're coming off of a rough loss against Carnes, I still think we should come out there with a brand new attitude, whole new team, whole new stadium, whole new everything.
Coming off a bye week.
Right. Coming off a bye week, you know, we've rested. Y'all had Thursday and Friday off.
Yes.
So it was a, you know, really good rest. Y'all got to kick back, relax. Tommy Post probably playing Madden Mobile.
I'm addicted, Jackson. It's bad.
I know. We were over here trying to talk about it, and he was over here like, hold on, I got to do this.
Hang on, I got to complete this challenge.
Right.
Yeah, it's an addiction. We won't go into Madden Mobile because I could probably go for 30 minutes on that one. But, yes, I agree with you. The Falcons, we've touched on it all year. Once again, they're young. They're inexperienced.
Right.
In order for us to have a chance this week, our young guys, and we have a lot of young guys, a lot of freshmen, sophomores, juniors who are, I mean, they're considered experienced, but also they don't have a lot of field and game experienced. Myself included, I played defense last year at safety, but this year I'm playing offense and defense. I've never played the quarterback role, so everybody's on a learning curve. There's going to be mistakes. You just have to limit those mistakes against a very, very talented, I can't say it enough, a talented Maryville team.
Right. And, Tommy, you know, I'm going to go back to a point you said about how, you know, the stamina that Fulton has and how we have some players that play 100 snaps. Tommy, you play everything pretty much.
Yes.
It feels like you play everything.
Yes.
So, and I feel as if we have to have that, you know, people like the players like you that can, you know, really just sit there and work through it all, because you play pretty much everything, and you play back to back to back to back to back. And I think that in order for Fulton to win, I think that's going to be one of the key things, is we cannot get tired. I know we will, and I know it's going to be rough because Maryville's going to work us. They're going to work. They're going to put us to work. So with them being one of the top teams, I really think we have to we have to stay hydrated, and we can't – them cramps.
Yes, going back to the cramp, I didn't realize it until just now, but I mean, I wish somebody was keeping – the number on the amount of cramps that we've had.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just the dehydration rate is just – it's way too high for – and I will say this. This is no excuse, but it's October, and it's still 90 degrees outside. I mean, it's hot. We're not expecting to drink water, but you just – I mean, you're constantly trying to hydrate and avoid those cramps, because, I mean, that'll get you by in some games that – you know, you're not afford, or you can afford to make a couple mistakes. You know, you can make more mistakes than against the Maryville team. But against this type of opponent, you got to have everybody on deck and ready to go. If somebody happens to go down, which you hate to see, they have to step up and they have to be prepared. And I understand. I do play a lot of snaps. However, there's tons of other guys. Cameron Stokes, Adrian Roberson, DeMarcus Cash.
Yep.
Joshua Jones, we have so many players that play both ways, and the fact is, it is tiring, it is grueling, but it's a lot of fun playing that. If you ask any of those guys, it's a lot of fun playing snaps, playing that amount of snaps. And also, I'm going to give a quick shout-out right here. The Maryville game, Inde Walton will be back in the lineup. And Inde, I mean, just he's the smallest guy on the field, but he's got the most heart. I mean, you'll ask anybody on the team, anybody who knows him, he's got the most heart of anybody on the team. And I'd put him up against anybody in Knox County, because that's how strongly I feel about Inde Walton. He'll be back in the lineup, and I think he'll help us tremendously on both sides of the football, especially special teams. He's just kind of a Swiss Army knife, if you will.
Right. And, you know, Tommy, like you said, how we have – multiple, like a very amount of people that play multiple snaps and just over and over and over again. I think the first time we really saw a team that doesn't do that was Powell.
Yes.
When Corbin and Parker were up there calling it the pregame show up there, we looked at their starting lineup and we saw no one.
Not a lot of two-way guys.
There was not a two-way. No one played two-way at all.
Yeah.
And so that's how this Maryville team's going to be. They're going to be very well rested. They're going to have a lot of stamina, because that offense and defensive line, you know, because if you look at their lines, that's what we looked at a lot, was their lines were just no one played any. Like, it was O-line and D-line. You did not play either.
Yep.
So I think that right there is a big, big advantage, advantage. So I think that we're going to have to really, you know, stamina is going to be one of the biggest things for us.
Yes, those are plenty of keys to the Fulton Maryville game, and we're going to segue into this Fulton Clinton game this week. The Clinton Dragons, they played West last week. We do not know a final on that one. We did predict that West would pull that game out, and if that stands true, and if we are we have our telekinetic powers like we assume we do, and we can see into the future, they would be 0-7, 0-3 in the region. And we don't know the score of the Fulton Maryville game. I don't believe we predicted that one. We're going to leave that one be.
Yeah.
So Clinton and Fulton will play this week, and that'll be at Clinton. It'll be a battle of two teams that have had lackluster seasons, disappointing seasons, if you will. Clinton last year was a decent team. They were big. Fulton beat them pretty handily, but Fulton beat teams pretty handily all of last year, mostly. So what are going to be some keys to this game against the Clinton Dragons? It's at Clinton. It's a tough environment to play in. Right. It's a different environment. They're a tough, hard-nosed football team. What are some keys for this game, Jackson?
So – With we have to win this game.
We do.
Against Clinton. You know, it's a big game. We have to win because we need to secure this spot in the playoffs.
Yes.
And like, you know, like we said, this is kind of like the same matchup we had, you know, coming into Carnes, kind of. Is we're both kind of on a really rough start here, or a rough season, we'll say. And I really say that, you know, the Falcons, we really have to push this. And stamina is just the biggest thing for me. You know, you have to have that stamina. And we can't come in there with our heads boosted like, oh, yeah, we're going to kill them.
Yes.
We're going to kill them.
Because we had that attitude against Carnes.
We did.
And we all know the result of that
one.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
But, Tommy, you're 100% right. We did. And we saw how, you know, we come into the second half in Carnes and we're like, oh, crap, we're losing.
Yeah, we're losing 21 to nothing.
Exactly.
We got to start playing. Yeah.
And so then we come back and we lose by 8 points. If we would have played like the entire game how we did in that second quarter, we would have won by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to come in and play Campbell or Clinton as if we are playing Catholic. I say we need to treat everyone
Maryville.
Or
yes.
Maryville. Exactly. We need to play them the way we're going to play Maryville is the way we need to play Clinton.
Yes.
So I say we cannot just throw them under the bus and be like, oh, we're just going to smack them because we saw how that went with Carnes.
Exactly. And I'll give a quick key to this game. There could be plenty, but I'm just going to give one that really just sticks out to me is Coach Black has preached to us and he's harped to us all year that we are Fulton High School. We're the Falcons. We're six-time state champs. We've won a lot of football games. We've embarrassed a lot of football teams. And so when you're sitting at a record with 0-5 and you're expected to be 5-0, 4-1, you're expected to be at the top consistently year in and year out. When you're 0-5 and you're going up against the Clintons and the Campbell Counties and the Carnes and the Wests, teams are going to be like, oh my goodness, we have a chance to beat Fulton, and they're going to play their hearts out. We saw it against Carnes. I will say we didn't play our best. However, Carnes' effort, you could tell on the field they wanted it more.
Yeah.
And that's how this game is going to be. Clinton is going to want to win this game. If they lose to West, they're winless. They're going to want to win their first game, and what better way to do it than to win against Fulton?
Right.
And so it goes. It's exactly what you said. We cannot come in here and saying we're gonna. It's Clinton. It's at Clinton. They haven't won anything. We've won everything. Because if we go in with that attitude, we're not gonna be coming out with a victory over there in Anderson County and in Clinton. Sorry. And so that's gonna be my key. It's just a simple effort thing. Who wants it more? It's going to be Clinton or Fulton. And going back to the region aspect of it, I mean, just how the playoff structure will work, we've talked, it's going to be Powell and West, I believe, in the 1-2 spot. Their Week 10 matchup is going to decide who's going to be 1-2. But Carnes is 1-2, 1-3. They play Oak Ridge. Oak Ridge is 1-1, so they could be either 2-1 or 1-2. When you look at it, Fulton has to beat Clinton, and they have to beat Campbell County, and they need Carnes to lose. I mean, either the rest of their games would be phenomenal, and they would just have the one win, and we would have the two wins, and obviously, or then it would come down to us and then Campbell County and Clinton, and we would have the tiebreaker over that. But if we win Clinton, Campbell County, say Carnes beats Clinton, and they're 2-2, that means we would have to beat either West or Oak Ridge to put us at 3 wins, and there are 2 wins, and obviously we'd have more, so we'd be in the playoffs.
Right.
So we started this segment off as this is a must win for the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
They're all must wins from here on out.
Oh, yeah,
and Clinton and Campbell County, West and Oak Ridge, obviously those are you have to win all of those games. 3 out of 4, 2 out of 4 is pushing it, but definitely 3 out of 4. I mean, you have to win. You have to win this game against Clinton.
Right. I 100% agree with you, Tommy. It's like you said, if we want to go to the playoffs, we have to win this game.
Yes, I agree with you. And that will wrap up our keys to the game. And we're going to take a quick break, and you will hear from TSSAA, and we'll be right back after this.
It may not require a textbook, but it's filled with valuable lessons. It may not take place in a classroom, but it's an ideal environment for learning. It may not involve a diploma, but it can help prepare Tennessee's young people for life. It's high school sports. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students that participate in high school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think again. Better yet, think about attending a high school sporting event in your community. You'll be amazed by what you see. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Other news in sports. Wednesday, October 9th, the Nationals clinched their National League Divisional Series with a 7-3 victory over the Dodgers. Howie Kendrick hits a grand slam in the top of the 10th inning to propel the Nationals to their victory. The Nationals will play the Cardinals, who also won their divisional series, against the mighty Braves 13-1. Tonight will be Game 1 of the NLCS at 8 o'clock. I know Russell Mays was crushed by the Braves' loss, but a Fulton W tonight will cure his depression. Now back to Tommy and Jackson in the studio for the Fulton Pregame Show with an exclusive interview with wide receiver Adrian Roberson. And we're back here on the Fulton Pregame Show. We're going to do a little player interview here with Adrian Roberson. How you doing today, Adrian?
Doing good. How you doing yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. And we also have Jackson Powell here. Jackson, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Doing great. Love doing it.
Wonderful. Adrian, we got a couple questions for you. Nothing too serious. We just want to get your responses here. So the first one, how have you handled a leadership role this year, and what do you like about it?
The way I handled it, I just made sure that most of everybody on our team is doing their job and just sticking to what the game plan is and what we have going on as a team.
Yeah, I think at practice, sometimes we do lack a little bit of competitiveness, and so it's up to me and you and guys like Inde and Josh and to guys to kind of just bring up that competitiveness and make sure that we're doing what we need to do, because we do have a lot of young players who don't really quite understand it yet. But if we're able to kind of lead them in the right direction, other than some coaching, because you can get yelled at all you want. I mean, if you got other players that can help you get through. Maybe if you're confused about a coverage, they can help you understand from a player perspective instead of a coach perspective. Jackson, if you were in a leadership role, what is something you would say to motivate your guys, and how would you come into a leadership role on a football team where you're expected to produce consistently, and you have that pressure of you're expected to perform, and also you're expected to hold each other accountable. What would be your response to that kind of role?
Well, I feel like the main thing is you have to keep your head up at all times. Mm-hmm. You cannot let the other players see your head down, because if you're going to be one of the leaders, then you cannot have your head down. If you have your head down, then that means the whole team's going to have their head down.
Yeah.
If they see one of the leaders, you know, getting mad, then they're going to get mad, and then I think. The main thing is you gotta stay strong, and you have to be a role model for the younger, because you know we do have a younger team.
Yep.
So you have to be a role model for this younger team. So that's what I would do if I was put in a leadership role here.
Yeah, I agree with you. If guys see that you're positive, it's gonna trickle down. Same thing if when you're negative, I mean it's gonna trickle down, and there's gonna be a division in your team. That is going to be very hard to get over, and you never want that when you're trying to win football games, because that just adds to the pressure. And so, Adrian, we got the next question here. What has been something you've tried to do in practice to try and motivate the team? We mentioned competitiveness. What's something that you've tried to say? I'm gonna do this in practice. That way, we can have a good practice. We can have a good day of work. What's something you've tried?
Tried to go 100% in practice, mm-hmm. make sure, you know, other players see me doing it, so they'll want to do it themselves too, and just if someone's lacking or anything, you know, get on to them, but not get on them bad, just tell them to pick up the pace or something.
Yeah, I agree, and watching you at practice, it's every rep, every route that you do, every defensive back drill that we've done, you're always doing it full speed, and it does get tiring at times, especially with the heat and everything, it's tiring. But also, I mean, just if they see one of the leaders doing that, it's going back to setting an example. If they see a leader, you know, giving their all in every drill, not just in team whenever we're going, when we're tackling live, but in a drill where you just got to, I mean, I know it gets annoying. I know you, and I know you like to hit. And when we're just going through and we're just setting up in formations, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. I mean, it gets, grueling, but also if you're able to stay focused during those periods, the younger guys will also follow suit. And I mean, I think that that's a big key if you're trying to win football games. Jackson, do you have any perspective on that, if you will, on what things that in a practice atmosphere, a practice environment that will help you get better and prepare you for the game on Friday?
Well, like Adrian said, you know, you have to come out there and you have to give it all. Mm-hmm. You have to give 110%, like every coach I've ever had in the world has ever said. You got to go out there and you got to give 110%. You have to practice like you play.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, you know, Tommy, I see you being a leader, and because one day I was coming up here to pick up old Big Hatch from practice, mm-hmm. and I saw you staying back and throwing, you know, staying. You know, I think that right there is that shows a lot of, and you know, Cam too. Mm-hmm. I think that shows a lot of leadership that, you know, you all are trying to better yourself. So that's going to make the younger kids want to go out there and want to do some extra reps at the house and, you know, run around their block. And mm-hmm. I think that shows just a lot of leadership. So I think my main thing would say is, you know, you have to go out there. And like I said, and a lot of these coaches are right. You have to practice like you play.
Yeah. And mentioning that, we stayed after a couple times, me and Adrian and myself, also, I mean, Marcellus Jackson, Joshua Jones, we've had like three or four of those sessions after practice where we're just trying to get routes in, get the timing down. And I mean, ever since we started doing that, you feel more comfortable on the field, and when you're right. comfortable, you're able to perform at a high level. Right. So I agree with you on that one. Adrian, what do you think the Falcons need to do to beat the Clinton Dragons tonight?
I think we just have to make sure our minds are right going into this game, and that whatever game plan we have for the game, just we stick to that and just make sure everyone does their job.
Mm-hmm. To the best of their ability. You have a game prep. You game plan for a team week in and week out, and you try to – I mean, our coaches, they're not – fools. They know what they're talking about. They try to lead us in the right direction, as Coach Humphrey would say. He tries to lead us in the right direction so that we were able to perform at a high level. I agree with you. I think me and Jackson talked about it previously. It's not going in with that big head saying, oh, it's Clinton and we're gonna blow this team out, because we also mentioned that we did that against Carnes, and we all know the result of that one.
Yeah.
So if we're able to prep like it's, oh, we're playing a Maryville team, like if we know that we have to play at our highest level, we have to limit our mistakes. If we're preparing like that week in and week out, I mean, I think that'll be a big key for the Falcons. So that's my key for the game. Jackson, I hope you don't mind. We're going to skip you for this one because we did give our key for like 30 minutes, 15 minutes on the last segment. So we're just going to roll right into this last question here. Adrian, what has kept you motivated this season when it's been very tough at times to stay positive, and you hear all this negative energy, this negative attention, oh, Fulton's this, Fulton's that. What is something that you've clung to that's really kept you motivated and saying this team's going to be all right? I know it's been tough at times, but what's something that you've done?
Me, I've just looked at it as I can't like just give up knowing mm-hmm. all my brothers out on this field. Just can't give up on them, and then giving up on them means that I'm a quitter, and that would just make me a quitter in life.
Mm-hmm. And our coaches, we've had quite a few guys quit. I mean, once we got into the meat of this season, we had a couple guys say, you know, this isn't for me, and that's fine. You understand that, but our coaches they've preached it week in and week out. I mean, if you quit now, you're going to quit later on in life. And, I mean, that's their whole goal, is to build up good young men, obviously good football players. But, I mean, I will have to agree with you. It's been tough at times to stay positive. It's why am I doing this? This is hard to be motivated. But I do think that if you're able to just look at it like a positive, look at it like we're going to be okay, and you're playing for the person beside of you, and you're trying to beat the person across from you from the other team, you're bad. Things aren't going to stay like this forever, and I think eventually the Falcons will turn it around, and you hope it's tonight against Clinton. Jackson, what's something that you – I mean, I know it's a different perspective. You're broadcasting the game. You're seeing what's going on. You're seeing things from afar. Well, I mean, what's something that you've said to yourself that's been motivating and positive in times where it's been hard to stay motivated and positive?
Well, I know what keeps me motivated is I know where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my granny was the cheer coach here for a long, long time. And, you know, I've grew up here. Fulton will always have a place in my home or a place in my heart. Mm-hmm. And Fulton is always going to be a home for me. So, you know, yeah, we're having a rough season. Every football team has a rough season.
Yep.
And I know that. And I know we have a rough, like, you know, we're having a rough start. That's fine. And I will always support. But I do realize we have a freshman team. We have a young team. We have a very young team. We lost a lot of seniors last year.
We did.
And Tommy, like you said, last segment, that, you know, you played defense last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're coming off of a learning curve, like you said. Yeah. So I think I'm perfectly fine. If this is going to be a rough year, then that's fine. We have our rough year. I will always, no matter what, support, because, like I said, I grew up with all the kids here, and I will always support everyone here and everything to do with Fulton football.
And that's the attitude that you love to hear, and you love to hear the support from, I mean, not only just somebody who calls the games, but there's people out there in the community that have that same perspective, and we want to let you know that we appreciate that support, even if we're not able to say, you know, thank you. We really appreciate you, but we do appreciate you, because every night, we haven't had a home game in a couple weeks, but I guarantee you, when we play West on October 25th, we'll have fans in the stands, and they'll be there to support us, because that's just the community that we are a part of, and we're so thankful and we're so appreciative to have such support and love from this community. So, Adrian, thank you for coming in and stopping by with us today. Jackson, thank you as well. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back with the high school pick'em section. So stay tuned. Don't go away, and we'll be right back.
I loved playing high school sports. I loved the competition, the camaraderie, the bands, the crowds, all the pageantry, and I wanted to keep playing. But I graduated. No colleges called, and neither did the pros. So, to stay close to the game I loved, I decided to become a high school official. You know, a referee. When I played high school sports, I learned the importance of integrity, good sportsmanship, and respect for the rules. Now, as a high school official, I get to help model these same values to others. Maybe the colleges and the pros didn't call, but the kids in Tennessee did. And now, I'm enjoying the competition, the camaraderie, the bands, the crowds, and all the pageantry of high school sports all over again.
Interested in becoming a licensed high school official? Go to highschoolofficials.com to learn more and begin the application process.
And we are back here. I'm Tommy Sweat, and we're back here with Jackson Powell. Jackson, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Tommy. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. We're going to jump into our pick'em section here. Big region implications in this game. Jefferson County at Bearden. It's at Bearden, both teams. Jefferson County started out 3-0. They've struggled a bit as of late. Bearden is they've also struggled a bit. Coming off their season last year, a lot of high expectations. They haven't lived up to those expectations this year. Who do you have in this one, the Bulldogs or the Patriots?
I think I'm going to go Bearden because, you know, I really feel like these underdog teams, you know, and a lot of them, they don't really, you know, most of the teams that are the underdogs that I call, I'll say it's a 60-40% chance that I'm usually right.
Yes.
And
it's tough to pick an underdog in high school.
But, I you know, because I want to say that Bearden's going to come back because they do have a lot of hype around them.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say Bearden's going to come up and show, like, hey, look, we're here. What's up? We're here.
Yes.
So, and, you know, Fulton played Jefferson County in the preseason in a little scrimmage.
Yes.
And that was a fun one. So I think they're going to come out. I think they're going to beat the Patriots. And I think it's going to be a really close game. But I would like to see Bearden win.
I'm going to have to agree with you, Jackson. Jefferson County started out the season 3-0. They've struggled as of late, as I mentioned before. Maybe they saw that they're 3-0, that maybe they got a little bit complacent with their record, and they've dropped their last couple games. Bearden, the only reason I say there's a lot of hype around Bearden, they did have a good season last year. Do not get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But their quarterback is a man, Colin Ironside. I remember this kid. He started when he was a freshman or a sophomore, and he's a top notch quarterback. I don't know as far as what he's doing after high school and his college interest, but I mean he's a quality high school quarterback, and he's got guys around him that can make plays. So that's why I'm going with the Bulldogs here. I think that they're hungry. They're in the second half of the season. They played a tough schedule. They play West, they play Maryville, they play Farragut. I mean, it's tough to go through a schedule like that and come out with, well, I mean, with just wins in general.
Right.
So I think they're gonna get a much needed victory over Jefferson County, and they'll be back right in the mix in that region over there in 6A. And so we'll move to the same region, Farragut at Dobbins Bennett. Farragut, they held their own against Maryville a couple weeks ago. Dobbins Bennett has been very, very sharp. Mm-hmm. They shut out Hardin Valley, I believe. They allowed a touchdown against Oak Ridge. It was 41-6, however. Dobbins Bennett has looked dominant. They've looked sharp. And I think that they will continue their dominance against Farragut this week. Jackson, who do you have?
I'm going to agree with you. I think, you know, like you said, Dobbins Bennett is a very slick, crisp, big team. They're a big team, and I think they're going to come out over Farragut. You know, Farragut's another one of those teams that have an okay season. So, but I still think Dobbins Bennett's one of them top competitors, and I think they're going to come out and really, really put it on the Farragut.
I think so too. As we mentioned before in this broadcast, we are recording this the week prior to fall break, so a week in advance of the Clinton game, and we're still on the Maryville week,
right?
And so this game, Austin East at Gatlinburg Pittman, will be the Thursday before we play Clinton. So we are trying to predict the future times 10 right here. My brain is melted trying to figure out like how I need to go about this, trying to make it sound like this is live, but this is not live, and we're trying to predict the future here. We got Austin East at Gatlinburg Pittman on the Rivalry Thursday TV game. Austin East beat the Falcons rather handily in week 4. It was a frustrating loss for the Falcons. Also, the Falcons scrimmaged Gatlinburg Pittman in the preseason, and they beat them by, I believe, 7. I mean, you don't really keep scores in a scrimmage, but I mean, if you do, I think the Falcons did pull that scrimmage out. But GP, what stood out to me is their offensive line. Their offensive line is very big. They're very strong. They have a quarterback who's experienced. I think this is his second or third year. J.D. Schultz, he's a talented quarterback. He's a dual threat quarterback. Also, the running back, I believe his name is Akey. Not my achy breaky heart, but his last name is Akey. Do not ask me what his first name is.
I was going to say
that. I just remember that I saw on 5-Star Preps that his touchdown mark is about 15, between 15 and 20. I do not remember the exact number, and I don't want to give you false information, but he is killing it. He's got over 800 yards on the season. The running game is going to be very good, but also they have to stop that Austin East run game, who ran all over the Falcons in week 4. So who do you have on this one on the Rivalry Thursday game, Austin East or Gatlinburg Pittman?
Well, so here's my deal is I want Austin East to lose because it's Austin East.
Of course, yes.
Because it kind of shows how Austin East, if they lose, then it kind of puts a worse name on us if they lose. So I kind of want Austin East to win as well, mm-hmm. so that it can show us that they're a little bit of a better team too. But I think overall, I want Gatlinburg Pittman to win because it's Austin East. So, and like you said, you know, they've got that quarterback that's mm-hmm. a goat. So
he is a goat.
He's goated.
He is goated.
So we are gonna. I'm gonna go Gatlinburg Pittman.
Gatlinburg Pittman. I think that's a good pick. Obviously, Austin East, their entire offense is predicated around their mm-hmm. Their quarterback. He ran all – he had over 600 yards against the Falcons. He's a phenomenal athlete. He's a phenomenal player.
Big boy.
The key to that game will be if Gatlinburg Pittman can limit – I don't believe they'll be able to stop Trey Foster. If they can limit Trey Foster to under 200, 300 yards, and obviously you don't want him to have 6-7 TDs. If he has one or two TDs and you're able to dominate in the run game with your line, I think Gatlinburg Pittman will pull it out. Give me the Highlanders in that one. And so we'll move down to the 1A classification. We got Greenback at Coalfield. And so we're going to have a little fun with this one. I mean, this is just a backwood brawl, if you will.
Yeah, I'm tearing the boonies.
Greenback and Coalfield. No offense to them. The quality of football there is just as good out here in the greater Knoxville area. They've got a lot of players. Greenback has, I believe, a Virginia Tech commit, who is that's a Power 5 school. Greenback has some players. They won the state title a couple years ago. Greenback is not to be messed with. Coalfield is always up there in the top in 1A. It's really always come down to Greenback and Coalfield in that region. So who do you have, the Greenback Cherokees or the Coalfield Yellow Jackets?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I don't know much about both.
I don't know much about them either.
But I think I'm going to go Greenback because, you know, if they have a Virginia Tech commit,
of course,
then I think that's a playmaker. Mm-hmm. That's clearly a playmaker. So I think that playmaker is going to really show out and stud up for them.
Yes.
So I'm gonna go with the Greenback.
Give me them Greenback Cherokees, yeah. Jackson. Give me
I'm,
them.
I'm right there with you, buddy.
Give me them Greenback Cherokees right there. Yeah. I Greenback all the way. Don't know a whole lot about it, all these teams, but Greenback. Just as far as their resume, who they are. Give me the Cherokees in that one. And so we're gonna try to wrap this one up real quick. We have Bradley Central at Maryville, two 6A powers. Bradley Central, obviously not the 6A power that Maryville is, and I don't believe any team is ever the caliber that Maryville is or the tradition that Maryville has. The Falcons play Maryville last week. Maryville is a talented team. They've got a lot of depth, as we've touched on countless times.
Right.
It's at Maryville. Bradley Central or Maryville. I got the Maryville Rebels. However, I heard Bradley Central has a lot of playmakers over there, a very good offense, very high-powered offense, but I don't think that they'll have the firepower to hang with Maryville. Who do you have, Jackson?
Well, Maryville, I'll pick Maryville, but I'll say this. Bradley Central is a name that I've heard of.
I have heard of him, too.
I've heard of.
That's why I put him on here. Because
right. I don't know a lot about Bradley Central, but it's a name that I've heard of that it just follows around and it goes around. So I know of the name. But I'm going to go with Maryville because, you know, that's a top team right there. Maryville is a big team. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to go. That's who I'm going to go with.
I agree with you. Before we wrap up this pick'em section, we're going to give you a quick rundown of the standings in the Region 3 Class 5A region and also just a little bit more info and maybe some more keys to the game, which we've touched on maybe too much in this pregame show. We're starting out with the region standings. We have number one, Powell, 7-0 overall, 4-0 in the region, followed by West, who is also 7-0. However, they are second in the region because their record is 3-0 instead of 4-0. Third, Oak Ridge at 3-1 in the region, 4-3 overall, followed by Campbell County, who's 1-2 in the region and 4-3 overall as well. Then we have Carnes, who is 1-4, 1-6 on the season, Fulton, 0-2, and 0-6 on the season, and Clinton in last place, 0-3 and 0-7 in the season. Another interesting facet of this game, in the Region 3 Class 5A, every other team, and excluding Fulton and Clinton in this region, have a bye week this week, meaning not only are Fulton and Clinton looking for their first wins on the season, but the eyes will be on Fulton and Clinton this week. As we shift gears here and give you more information about Clinton, one note that Mr. Mays has given to me is Clinton has not scored a point in the first quarter, meaning they have been outscored 68-0 in first quarter play. If you keep up with the Falcons, you know that historically this season, the Falcons have played rather well in the first quarter, the first half. Their defense has been very solid and been very quality at times. So you wonder if the coaches in the locker room are preaching to their players, we have to get out to a quick start, because you wonder if you get out to a quick start, Clinton may roll up and they may realize, oh, here we go again. We haven't scored yet in the first quarter. Maybe this will be the same thing. So if you're Fulton, you're preaching to your players, let's get out to a fast start. Let's get on them early and get their confidence down and just keep putting it on them. So that will be a definite key to the game for the Falcons if they want to pull out their first victory of the season. Also, some more information about Clinton this year. Clinton in the first quarter has been outscored 68-0. Fulton in the first quarter and in the first half in general has been very solid. Their defense has been very, very good, very quality at times. Going up against some very high-powered offenses, and they're holding their own against those offenses. Also, last year, Clinton's record in 2018 was 4-7 overall, 3-3 in the region play. They did make the playoffs. They did lose to a Saudi Daisy team in the first round of the playoffs to a very talented Saudi Daisy team. They lost a lot of seniors. They lost a lot of experience last year, much like Fulton this year. Not so much a rebuild year, but they have a lot of youth, a lot of sophomores, a lot of juniors. Not a lot of guys with a lot of experience on the Clinton roster, much like Fulton. A quick note for you, last year's score of the Fulton-Clinton game was 51-8. Fulton took care of the Dragons in rather short business. Clinton just did not have enough firepower to match up with the Fulton's high-powered offense, and the defense stifled them, holding them only to 8 points. Taking a look at the offensive starters for Clinton, like I said before, dominated by a lot of youth. I'm looking at this offensive starters, and there's only four seniors on this offensive side of the football, starting at the offensive side. They have four juniors, three on the offensive line. They also have a freshman at left tackle, Caleb Cook. Obviously, if you're a freshman and you're playing against a Fulton team, there's going to be nerves. So you like to see how the freshman will handle himself in a big game and a much needed win for both teams. And the pressure will be high. We'll see how he responds. There's only four seniors on this team, one on the offensive line, one in the backfield, and one out wide at wide receiver. You look at the wing T offense, you know historically they're looking to run the ball first. We've talked about in the keys to the game that Fulton's going to have to be able to stop the run, even limit the run. They're big. They're not very fast, but they're going to run it between the tackles, and you have to be able to fill those gaps and get them in negative yard situations. Therefore, we've noticed on film that whenever they're getting third and longs, third and 15s, third and 18s, Clinton will move to more of a spread type offense. They'll get into trip set, they'll get into twins flex, a double set, and that means they're trying to spread the ball out, and we've noticed that that's not Clinton's game necessarily. Their game is physical. They're more physical than you. They're bigger than you. We're going to overpower you with our run game. So if the Falcons can get the Dragons in third and long, second and long, third and long situations, you got to believe they'll be better off to win this football game. Transitioning over to the defensive side of the ball, same case as the offense. Four seniors, three juniors, three sophomores, and one freshman. Only one returning starter, and that's Trevor Linderman, number 56. He's a junior, started as a sophomore last year on the offensive and defensive line. Same thing as offense, like I said before, very inexperienced. Guys are put into roles that they're not used to, and they're expected to perform, and the nerves are probably getting to them, much like a lot of the guys on the Fulton squad. And the whole point that I'm trying to give you these keys to the game is to realize that these teams, although, yes, they are winless, so they're the same in that facet, but they lost a lot of seniors this year. They're very inexperienced on the offensive and defensive side of the ball, not a lot of returning starters. Therefore, these two teams are going to be very, very confident going into this game. They're going to be nervous because they know that if they lose this game, their playoff hopes are pretty much down the drain if you look at it from a outside looking in perspective. If you lose this game, if you're Fulton, you're 0-3, you're going to have to win out. You're going to go 3-3, and the likelihood of you making the playoffs is very slim. Also for Clinton, if you lose this game, you're sitting at 0-4. Your only two remaining games are Campbell County and Corinth. So if you're 2-4, assuming they went out, they could lose those games too. If you're 2-4, it's very hard to make the playoffs, especially if you lose to a Fulton team. Vice versa, Fulton loses to Clinton, they're 0-3. They have they have Campbell County, West, and Oak Ridge. Assuming they win all those three games, they're 3-3. Then again, you're putting yourselves in a very tough situation. But if Fulton can win tomorrow night, they're 1-2 in the region. Campbell County next week, then get back to 2-2, and then you go into that gauntlet of the two games where it's West and it's Oak Ridge. So therefore, those are some more keys to the game. That's some more information on Clinton, which I know Russell Mays will bring you up to speed on and be a lot more detailed with what I bring you. So that'll wrap up our pick'em section. That'll wrap up our pregame show here in the studio. We'll send it up to the booth. Thank you for listening to the Countdown to Kickoff on WKCS Radio. We will go live to the stadium with Russell Mays after this 2-minute break on Falcon Radio.